Hi, this is Tim.
It's Kamala Harris. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Madam Vice President.
Listen, I want you to do this with me. Let's do this together. Would you be my running mate and let's get this thing on the road?
I was going to be like, do what?
I would be honored, Madam Vice President.
The joy that you're bringing back to the country, the enthusiasm that's out there, it'll be a privilege to take this with you across the country.
Well, let me tell you, I have just the utmost respect for you. I have really enjoyed our work together. You understand our country. You have dedicated yourself to our country in so many different and beautiful ways. And we're going to do this. We're going to win. And we're
going to
unify our country and remind everyone that we are fighting for the future for everyone. So let's get out there and get this done, okay?
Let's do it. Do the work in front of us. Let's win this thing.
That's right. All right, buddy. I'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you guys believe that they actually had a telephone call, before we get the show started, can I just offload some property here? I've got an amazing deal right now on a bridge, Kane. It's just a great deal. I mean, it's just such a beautiful deal. It's a bridge that I have. It's in New York, actually. Maybe you've heard of it. It's actually in Brooklyn. It's a beautiful bridge. Beautiful. I will give it to you. Give it to you. Because that's, you know, I'm giving it away, you know, for the cool, cool price of just, you know, $10 million. $20 million, maybe. But I could go down to 10, you know? It's a beautiful bridge. I'll give it to you. If you believe that these two freaks actually had the phone call that you heard, I didn't get to touch on the call yesterday. It's a perfect call. I didn't get to touch on it because there were so many things to hit yesterday. And then, of course, you know, and then we had their big campaign event and whatever. I don't know, whatever the hell you want to call it. God help us all. We're in the stupidest news cycle I've ever been in my entire life. And I'm almost without words. I'm almost without words. So welcome to the program. And Dana Loesch with you. I'm just seeing like some of the craziest stuff come because everything's coming up. Everything's firing. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. Top of this first hour. The hell day is it? Wednesday. My gosh, it's only Wednesday. I'm supposed to not tell you people that. I'm supposed to be like, oh, it's Wednesday. We're going to get through it together. Look, I ain't going to lie. All right. The economy's trash, and we got the weirdest people running for office, and it's just a nightmare. All right, so where to start? Can we go to five? Sure. Doug Imhoff decided to pick. No, he's the, what do they call him?
The first guy.
He is the first bitch. What? First gentleman, which is so stupid. He's the guy who got the nanny pregnant in his first marriage. Anyway, I would be a little worried about him calling us blonde. He called Gwen Wall. So not only did they have one awkward phone call, but they had another awkward phone call. Cue the awkward phone call. Audio sound by five, ladies and gentlemen. So weird. Look at him. He's such a freak.
Hello?
Gwen?
Yes?
It's Doug Imhoff. How are you?
Don't worry. I'm not going to get you pregnant.
Holy smoke.
Right.
So, thank you for taking my call. It's so
So
now, I think this
Gwen,
one.
I remember getting this call 4 years ago, and I actually know what you're going through right now. But the good news is, I've already been through it. So just like Dr. Biden was there for me, who had been
don't
through it.
Don't sleep with your nanny. If I could give you any advice,
Gwen. For you. And we're going to do this together.
Thank you.
Don't get your nanny pregnant.
Kamala and Tim are going to do this together, and we are going to win this election together. And I cannot wait.
It's so awkward. Doesn't he look awkward? Can I just say, I'm going to get into everything else, but can I just say, I was looking at the, and we can, because nobody cares about these two freaks anymore. When I first saw the headline that he actually got his nanny pregnant, I'm like, I can't believe that two women conceived with him because he's so, I think he probably just the upon appearances reduces a woman's fertility rate by like 20%, just upon appearances. All right. So. So they had their little phone calls. They had their event yesterday. I had to watch it because it's my job. They had Josh Shapiro go out there. I can understand, even though they hate Jews, I can understand why Democrats didn't want Josh Shapiro to be on the ticket with Kamala Harris. Because did you hear Josh Shapiro speak? Guys, Democrats actually have somebody who can talk. It's very, well, without his voice kind of cracked. Audio soundbite 17. This was some of Josh Shapiro yesterday. He was very energetic. Listen.
Are you ready to form a more perfect union?
Are you ready to build an America where no matter what you look like,
dang,
where you come what? From, who you love or who you pray to, that this will be a place for you? And are you ready?
I actually thought it was going to be a wrestling
event. The next president of the United States.
So Josh Shapiro goes out there. He actually, he's not a moderate. And we talked about this yesterday. I'm not going to relitigate it today. There's no such thing as moderates on the Democrat side. They don't have moderates. Okay. That's like, it's like saying Doug Emhoff has any kind of self-awareness or restraint, but, they have no moderates, but they're trying to rewrite and retcon everybody's history about moderation. Right. So Josh Shapiro goes out and they're like, oh, here's this moderate in Pennsylvania. He's going to sit here and introduce these because they act like Kamala Harris is a moderate and Tim Walz is a moderate. Neither of them are. So they go out and Kamala Harris cannot have someone on the ticket who looks like they're more competent than she is. And just by way of saying a sentence that doesn't sound insane, Josh Shapiro sounded better than Kamala Harris did. She went out there and she was like, what did she say? Good evening. Good evening. Did we have her saying this a million times? Yeah. Wait a minute. Can we play this so that the people can get an idea? If you guys spared yourselves, I didn't spare me, but you got, yeah. Oh my gosh. This is how she started it. Audio sound by 10, you guys. This is how she, first thing she said when she came out on stage.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. She sounds like what you say to kids, like when you're talking to kids and you're trying to get them, you know, to calm down. It is just odd. It is just odd. So she came on after Josh Shapiro sounding like that. And then you could kind of understand why they didn't really, I think, want Shapiro to be on the ticket. And I feel like he did a really good job speaking, even though he's wrong on everything. And I just think he's, you know, I'm not a fan of him at all. But just looking at it clinically, he can speak. That's, you know, I know it's the minimum for these guys. Guys, give him something. Come on. You know, it's the minimum for him. Bless their buttons. He can speak, guys. He can string a sentence together without saying the same canned stuff over and over again. So he goes out there. He, you know, gets everybody amped up. And then these two stooges come out and they walked out. It was the weirdest thing ever. It was like two Chick-fil-A employees that were real ginger about interacting with the public. It was just weird, the whole demeanor. So they come out. And then Tim Walz, I hope you realize, do we have the cat? Yeah, here it is. Audio soundbite 14. This is the remark that stuck out to me. So he remarks on J.D. Vance. Now, I just want to tell you guys before I play this audio soundbite, I have tried to in my career be real nice, not real nice, but I've tried to be nicer. You know, I have kids that are more aware. I can't be the bare knuckle brawler that I came up into this industry as, like literally jumping off of stages and going into fights with people. Because in my mind, I'm like 7'2". Kane is dying laughing. I would terrify my bosses, my husband. I'd be like, you're a jackwagon. And I'm off the stage. I literally would not even take the mic. And then worst day, she's in the audience fighting with somebody. So, and my husband's like, oh my gosh, what? God love that man. But, you know, as my kids are getting older, I'm like, wow, maybe I should be a lady and nice, you know, in public, a lady and nice in public. And people are really tempting me with stuff like this. This is bait for me, right? Because I feel like Bane, like, you know, you guys these people merely adopted being mean. I grew up in it. Okay. I was formed by mean. And so when I hear people like Tim Walz make these kind of remarks like this, because it's what he's saying is not what he's saying. If you've heard the rumor about J.D. Vance, they're trying to LBJ him. Now, if you want to know what I mean by the LBJ thing, way back when, I'll reiterate this really quickly, way back when LBJ was running for state office, and I can't even remember what office it was, and he told his campaign manager, we'll put it out there that my opponent likes to fornicate with pigs. He didn't say that F word, but you know what I mean? He was a pig fornicator. Again, not that F word, but you get the idea. And the campaign manager was like, sir, we can't do this. That's insane. You can't say this guy's a pig fornicator. You know, it's not true. That never happened. LBJ was like, yeah, son, that's not the point. The point is to get the man to deny it, elevate it, And then reduce your own branding by elevating it, your value by elevating it. That's the whole point. It's a psyop. So there was this thing that went around. The left started accusing J.D. Vance of being a couch fornicator. I mean, literally a sofa fornicator. Kane, you heard it. I'm just telling you because I need to tell you this so this soundbite makes sense. So I'm at a crossroads here. How mean do I get with this Tim Walz? Because he might be this, you know, old dude from Minnesota, but I was raised by a bunch of Ozark women, so, and sailors. So, you know, feels like that, you know, actual Navy sailor. So I feel like that's, you know, so I hear him say stuff like this, and I need you guys to determine, you know, if I'm going to be the new year, new me or not. So Tim Walz brings up this fecal post about J.D. Vance, about the sofa. Audio soundbite 14.
That is if he's willing to get off the couch and show up. So, you see what I did there?
I see what I did there? Employer, I'm boss hog.
He like patted himself on the back. Is that not cringe? See what I did there? I made a joke about a fecal post. But they don't call it that. They call it a shh. It starts with that post. You know, see, I made a joke about this rumor. If he's willing to get off the couch, see what I did there? Wink, wink. No, that's so cringe. I just about died. I about died. That wasn't the most cringe part of last night, though, guys. It wasn't. I know. You're like, wait a minute, Dana. What? Oh, no. Are you guys ready for the most cringe quote of the night? I give you audio soundbite 7 in all of its glorious glory.
Well, some might say it's like a matchup between the varsity team and the JV squad.
So brat. That's so not original. That is so not original.
So
brat. Jeez. Oh, God. I cannot deal. She actually said that. And she was talking about Walz and Vance. So, I mean, how many times have you heard like that phrase over and over again? And she trotted it out like it was the most original thing in the world. Notice how she checked the prompter, too. She checked the prompter. She couldn't even remember it. She's looking around. You can see her look over at the prompter because it was right there. She had to like check the prompter to even be able to speak. I can't even with these people. By the way, their campaign is a great piece over at the Hill by a friend of mine, is absolutely just an admission of all of Harris's failures with Biden. We're going to get into, because I got more from last night, but then we're also going to get into some of the policies that they discussed. And who needs to mind whose own damn business? I feel like that needs to be explored. Okay, so we're going to talk about all of that here coming up. We got headlines on the way. We're just going to go right into it, shall we? Hey, dudes, listen up. I have a gift idea that could truly impress the lady in your life and transform your home into a much-needed sanctuary, all with the luxurious comfort of Cozy Earth. It's called Cozy Earth. She'll be impressed. And Cozy Earth uses only the finest fabrics and textiles, making their products super soft and comfortable. For example, you could give the gift of comfort and support with Cozy Earth's durable weave bedsheet fabric that keeps your bedsheet smooth and luxurious for years. And you can say goodbye to pilling also. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are super comfortable. It's a long-lasting investment. And ladies, you don't have to wait for somebody to get this for you. You can create your own comfort and sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose. It's very luxurious. So we just got our sheets. That's their California king size. And they had our color, which was Harbor Mist. That's the one I picked out. So I love the selection. I love how easy it is to navigate their website and find what you want. So if you want to make every bedroom a sanctuary, do it with Cozy Earth. Breathable, ultra soft, and even softer with every wash. Try them risk-free today for 100 nights and love them or get a full refund. And that's one of the best money-back guarantees in the business. So your bed's calling. And answer with the ultimate in comfort and get up to 40% off only at CozyEarth.com/Dana using code Dana. And don't forget, tell them I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get some free socks. That's CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, this was good. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, won his primary. I don't even know why anybody decided to challenge Andrew Bailey. This is my home state of Missouri. Why anybody decided to challenge Andrew Bailey? That man wakes up and just is like, whose butt can I stick my foot in today, and wears a house shoe. That's how he starts every day. So somebody was like, I want to run against him. And they didn't succeed. So he ended up fending off any challengers, and he clearly won the primary. You know who did win their primary? Cori Bush didn't win it. We're going to talk about that. I'm not sad at all. It's funny. But I want to temper my schadenfreude, because this guy ain't that much better than her, this Wesley Bell. Multiple Olympic 2024 athletes were hospitalized after swimming in the polluted poo stream that they call a river in Paris, making it a nightmare for Paris organizers. The Sun says if you swim in the Seine, then you're I know it sounds like sin, but it's not. They're getting sick right and left. That's nasty. That's so nasty. Let's see. Ooh, in Yonkers, this is kind of weird. There was a man's partially dismembered body that was put in a shopping cart, taken on a train, and then set on fire in New York City. This is in Yonkers Police Department. They said that they responded to this. They couldn't determine anything about the victim yet. They're still investigating. But can you imagine discovering like a human torso on fire in a shopping cart? I can't. But hey, if you live in New York, you can. Later, I'll have the guy who got eaten by a crocodile. It's a sad story. But also, Harrison Walls, stick with us. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Should you be freaking out over the massive stock market crash over the past weekend? High quality companies already knew we were in a recession. It's just starting to show up. They've made the necessary adjustments already to make sure they come out on top. But are you invested in those high quality companies?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even if we wouldn't make the same choice for ourselves, there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
Why did he enunciate the S's like the church lady, Dana Carvey style at the end? Mind your own damn business, says Tim Walz, the guy who literally created a snitch line in Minnesota as governor to snitch on people who walked around outside or who didn't have a face panty on. By the way, here's the call. This is what it sounded like when you called it. This is it.
Hello, you have reached the Department of Public Safety stay-at-home hotline. The information you leave is considered public information. At the tone, please leave the following information: your name, your callback number, how the stay-at-home order is being violated, and where the stay-at-home order was violated. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, someone violated the order. So this guy who wants everyone to mind their own business, he only situationally believes that. He created a snitch line. And by the way, and Alpha News has a great piece on this. People would send in, like, the amount of people that would snitch are crazy. Anybody who, they had the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. What? Dude, leave it to a damn Democrat to set up something like that. They launched the hotline in March of 2020. Law enforcement monitored it until November. And in October, someone literally used the snitch line to snitch on a church because the church was meeting and the governor didn't want the churches to meet. Here was the message, quote, I am aware that the Apostolic Lutheran Church at Cox Trail, Medina, Minnesota, is planning to hold church services October 2nd through the 4th. Hundreds are expected. They will be serving meals in the church dining hall. I don't believe this fits with legal requirements, and I am aware that multiple families attend this church currently have coronavirus. That literally is actually one of the transcripts from one of the calls that Alpha News got. And they said that the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, created by Governor Mind Your Own Damn Business, I know, funny, huh? They were tasked with triaging and reporting suspected violations to local authorities. Now, Walz said that he created the snitch line because his goal was to free up the 911 lines. That's why. That was his, seriously? Now, criticism of this resurfaced after a data request made by a Twin Cities attorney, Nathan Hansen. He got all of these redacted emails. And it was showing, you know, the governor was right behind it. It was literally Tim Walz's snitch line. And I mean, it is crazy that they had this thing. And it was going all the way up until November of 2022. That's how long this went up. They said that they had thousands of snitches that called in. Like, for instance, one of the snitches, here's one of the emails, one of the redacted emails that this Twin Cities attorney, Nathan Hansen, got. It said, quote, this sounds totally like a Gwen, quote, hello, my name is blank, and blank City Park between 33rd and 34th, between Lundale and Garfield. Yesterday, I noticed a large gathering of a pickup basketball game with a lot of observers that easily totaled 30 plus people. And then there were people in the park playing frisbee. And then there were people who were exercising or playing with their dogs. And there were easily 50 plus people in the park. That's like not very large. That's actually what they said. They said, well, I would love it if the parks could stay open for those who are practicing social distancing. I don't believe that that's the case here. And they said, I am very concerned these large gatherings keep occurring in the park because it's the park, you absolute halfwit. And they said that I'm not sure of the proper action to take, but I would fully support closing the park until further notice. Someone else said that they called into the snitch line. They saw a Facebook photo of a group of people who were working out at another park. These are actual emails and calls that came into the snitch line that Governor Mind Your Damn Business created. Yeah. Someone else said that someone else snitched and said that people were going into one of the stores near White Bear Lake and saying, quote, I'm bored and needed to get out of the house. They purchased a lottery ticket, a candy bar, and a soda. Those items are not essential. They literally snitched because someone bought a soda candy bar. They called in Governor Walz's, Boss Hog Walz's snitch line. These are real emails, redacted emails that were obtained by that Twin Cities attorney. And then some are transcripts of the calls that came into the snitch line. This is Governor Tim Walz, Mind Your Damn Business's snitch line. People calling and ratting people out for going into a store and buying a soda and a candy bar, saying those aren't essential items. You're not essential either, but yet here you are. One person called the snitch line and said, there are too many people in a Walgreens. Another person reported their neighbor on the snitch line because the neighbor had a birthday party at their house and they included the neighbor's name and address and said it looked like their children stopped by. Wow. Wow. How dare he put his neighbors at risk, said the snitch. Do you see what that lie did, by the way? The lie that the government told everybody, you know, the 6 feet distance and all, it was all BS. It was all a lie. And it fomented absolute hatred amongst fellow Americans. They said one person called the snitch line to report an employee who stood 3 feet, not 6 feet away from another person. Oh my gosh. One woman called the snitch line to complain about her ex-husband because he would not get the vaccine. Yep. Another woman called in about her ex-boyfriend And she apparently had broken up with him because he didn't believe in face masking. And she called the snitch line because he wasn't wearing a face mask.
Golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
I mean, so for Tim Walz to go out and act like he has any respect for anyone's privacy is such an absolute boss hog lie. He's a sentient ham sandwich. Governor Ham up there. It's an absolute lie. Now, Alpha News had contacted Walz's office, but Walz never responded to any of this. And the only thing, the only defense that he ever said was, well, I did it to free up 911, the 911 line. You did it to make a catalog of all the snitches, you absolute loon. Can you imagine? And you want to know, by the way, this is so Orwellian. If you wanted to know how, for instance, the National Socialist government in Germany was able to get so many people to go along with stuff, look how many people went along with this nonsense. People are sheep. This is crazy. Thousands, thousands of snitches. So this guy going out on stage and telling everyone, mind your own damn business. You didn't mind your damn business. So no, you don't get to say that. And then act like you're some white knight for women. The same women that you actually put at a disadvantage by making the economy so hideous that we can't even stay home to raise our own children. Lunchbox. This was a state surveillance system, is exactly what it was. Don't make any mistake. I mean, we joke about the snitch line, but the sobering reality of it is that it was a state facilitated, state run, state enforced surveillance system. The fact that they just outsourced the tips to the community is nothing. I mean, that's not any different than Orwell's 1984 when you had your little snitch system and people were telling on other people. But it was still part of the state surveillance system. I mean, that's as fascistic as it gets. And by the way, his snitch system went on well beyond after we knew that the 15 days to slow the spread was a lie. The snitch line went on and was operating for far longer than we knew the masks didn't work. Even that the injections that they called vaccines were not actually inoculating you. That's how long the snitch line continued. That is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And he very, very quietly shut it down. It's the Stasi. It's completely that. There's a piece in Der Spiegel where they talked about the nature of spying with the Germans and how that's exactly how they had it all set up. They would snitch on their neighbors. They had their Ministry for State Security, as the Stasi was known. And they had people of East Germany who would report on their neighbors, and they would have kids snitch on other kids and college kids snitch on other kids. This, by the way, when Tim Walz talks about neighborliness, what that one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about this. His idea of neighborliness is how the Stasi would have defined it. This is the guy who wants to be vice president of the United States. And it doesn't end with that. I'm sure also you're aware of how he signed into law removing from parents. He greenlit the law allowing the state to take child custody from parents who opposed experimental gender surgeries, mutilation, genital mutilation on healthy minor children. That is not hyperbole. It's not an exaggeration. That is exactly what happened. Daily Caller has the piece that gets into the trans refuge bill, and it allows for temporary emergency jurisdiction. According to the bill's verbatim text, it defined intervention, which included sex changes, hormone replacement, and cosmetic surgeries, as long as it respects the gender identity of the patient experienced and defined by the minor. And they said that it would allow, if a parent denies that, then the state can intervene. And Walz described parental intervention with minors and experimental gender surgery slash mutilation as, quote, hate and bigotry. Because this weirdo boss hog, you know, good old boy in Minnesota, he thinks that it's hate and bigotry for a parent who is raising a child to say, my minor 9-year-old child, I'm not allowing them to have experimental gender mutilation surgery, genital mutilation surgery. I'm not doing that. But Tim Walz thinks he knows better than parents because, see, he's glorified himself as a member of the state. And when you're a member of the state, you know best by nature of being a member of the state. See, it's cyclical. This is his idea of neighborliness. Oh, if a parent denies a child the ability to sew up their genitals or to surgically remove their genitals, well, then the state will intervene because the state, ladies and gentlemen, is just being a good neighbor. That's all the state's doing. No age limits for any minor who could receive gender-affirming care. That's verbatim in the text of the bill. There is no age limit. And it also had a loophole. The bill has a loophole that allows people, including children from other states, to receive transgender treatments and asserted that out-of-state provisions interfering with access to these procedures must, quote, not be enforced or applied within the state. They also give, quote, temporary emergency jurisdiction to make custody determinations if the child has been unable to obtain transgender treatments, end quote. So when Tim Walz talks about one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness, he really believes that socialism and neighborliness are the same thing, that it's the state that needs to watch your behavior. It's the state that needs to be involved in your home with how you're raising children. Now, he'll tell you to mind your own damn business, but he is not obligated to mind his business. We have a lot more on this because this is just the tip of the iceberg with this guy. This is why the squad was so happy that he was selected as the VP, because this is who the new don't think that because he's a fat white dude from Minnesota that he's not further to the left of Bernie Sanders. Shockingly, he is. We have more on the way. If you don't have Patriot Mobile, your cell phone service actually supports that. Your cell phone service, if it's not Patriot Mobile, is working and advocating for and pushing for taxpayer-funded abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. That's not a lie. That literally was a Senate bill that every single Democrat in the Senate actually co-sponsored. And that was just 2.5 years ago. Patriot Mobile doesn't support that. And they not only do they offer reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, you're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. You're supporting U.S.-based jobs, all of that good stuff. You get free activation with code Dana. Your money actually votes for the things that you or actually protects the things you vote for. So your tax dollars aren't being used for Planned Parenthood, which gets over $500 million of our taxpayer dollars every year anyway. So just by switching to Patriot Mobile, you're actually taking away more money funneling in to Planned Parenthood and these other abortion groups. This is one of the reasons why you need to switch. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. But if you're not switching, I don't know if you can have room to complain. You need to switch today. They make it easy. PatriotMobile.com/Dana972Patriot. And on top of it, you get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by cosplayers who pretend. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972Patriot for your free month of service today.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Get out and vote and donate. And she's also a historic candidate. You know, it's going to be the first woman president. And that's incredibly exciting. And, you know,
Indian,
she's black, she's everything. You can be more than one thing. It's incredible. You know, I'm Jewish and Irish. I wish I was black. Every white Jewish guy wishes he was black. You know, it's just get out there and vote and donate and like take advantage. This is such an important time right now. And this
is so lame. Why is it exciting? Because she's a woman who's running. That's sexist. Why is it exciting? Because one of the candidates has a vagina. I mean, way to lower the bar. Why don't you, you know what's exciting? Like curing cancer. Curing cancer is exciting. Why don't you be a woman and do that? Why don't you be a woman and go above and beyond instead of like the basic thing of, oh, I'm going to run for office, because anybody can run for office. Anybody can go out and buy a pair of shoes. Anybody can go out and work out. Anybody can go to a baseball game. I mean, these are just like basic things that anybody can do. Have a higher level of expectations, please, for the love. It feels like it's pandering and it's condescending and it's actually sexist to act like it's exciting because a woman is running. That is so dumb. It's just dumb. Stop it. You know, have an alien, like an actual Mars from Mars alien run, and that'll be exciting, you know. Although they couldn't, because, you know, you got to be born in the U.S. and all that stuff. I'm just saying. All right, so coming up, this is what we got. We got a we have a lot to hit, because I haven't even scratched the surface of the Waltz stuff. J.D. Vance hits at him for his lack of, well, he abandoned. As soon as he got called up for a deployment, he left. And then he was demoted a rank for it. And we're going to dissect this claim that Tim Walz is somehow the choice for rural voters. He's not. He has never performed well with rural voters in Minnesota. And we're going to do a deep dive on that and just obliterate that narrative right out. So stick with us. We got a lot more coming up second hour. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
What really bothers me about Tim Walz as a Marine who served his country in uniform, when the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the Army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful to prepare your unit to go to Iraq, to make a promise that you're going to follow through, and then to drop out right before you actually have.
Well, you know, I mean, Tim Walz thought he could handle this fight, and it doesn't look like he's going to be able to. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this second hour. That's J.D. Vance, who earlier today was speaking. I think that was in Detroit where he was speaking, and he took issue. I noticed that last night at the event, Tim Walz mentioned a service, but didn't mention that controversy. By the way, you can get, I wrote a big write-up. It's all that you need to know about Tim Walz over at Substack, chapter and verse. You can go and subscribe, and you can get all of that delivered right to your inbox. None of your information's ever sold. And make sure you go and find us there. And of course, Channel 347 DirecTV, Rumble, where the discussion happens daily. And you can also find us on X, the simulcast of the radio program. So he is. I mean, Vance is right. Walz is getting slammed for this, and he mentioned it. He's the one who brings up his military service time and time again. He negotiated an early retirement, and he got reduced in rank because he did not want to go with the men that he was being helped to, that he was, they were helping him train. He didn't want to go with his men into combat. The moment he got the notice of warning that they were going to be deploying to Iraq, he was like, I can't do that. And he dropped out. He left. And then he lied about it. And that's what's crazy. I mean, he absolutely lied about it. And he also kept going on and saying that he keeps saying, like, for instance, some of the stuff that he's talked about with regards to Second Amendment stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've had, you know, he talks about weapons of war. And he says, oh, yes, you know, weapons of war, and he tries to trade on his military service and act as though he knows all about this and you can't carry this because people who have these weapons in war shouldn't be able, if you can carry it on a battlefield, you can't carry it in the street. First off, you didn't carry anything in the battlefield because you dropped out and you never went. This was one of the tweets that Kamala Harris actually had. I mean, he had said, oh, I carried weapons of war in war. No, Tim Walz did not carry any weapons of war in war because he never went to war. He's lying about his military service repeatedly. And then J.D. Vance finally has enough and calls him out on it. I mean, it's wild. But he's not the only person who's calling him out on it. There are a number of veterans that he served with. And his actual former peers have been slamming him. People he served with have been criticizing him. We talked about this yesterday. I mean, he abandoned his troops when they went to Iraq. He did not want to go with them. He had reenlisted in 2001 and he went to Sergeant's Major Academy in 2003. And then when you accept the invitation to the school, you also accept some of the other requirements that go along with it. And then he got a reduction in rank to Master Sergeant because he was not going to go and fight for his country. And by the way, it's interesting to note as well that the United States Army Sergeant's Major Academy, these are college-level courses funded by taxpayer dollars. So the stipulations that are attached to this are to make sure that the government, that the taxpayer gets the money, that our money isn't wasted. So he was, in summer of 2003, he was going with his battalion in support of Operation Enduring Freedom to Italy. We talked about this yesterday. And they were going to augment security forces in U.S. Air Force Europe and take over any responsibility for airbase security. And then the battalion was not replacing anybody so they could deploy to Iraq or Afghanistan. So then he comes home to Minnesota in 2004. He's appointed to serve as command sergeant major, but then he wasn't promoted to that rank. And they were filling in gaps doing this stuff. On September 17th, 2004, he was conditionally promoted to command sergeant major, and he signed and initialed the statement of agreement and certification, which meant if he failed to comply with the conditions, his promotion would be null and void. Then when they got their warning orders that he, along with his battalion, were going to be going, mobilizing for deployment to Iraq in early 2005, he quit. He quit. According to those he served with, his excuse to leaders was that he needed to retire in order to run for Congress, which was not true. According to the Department of Defense directive, because he could have run and requested permission from the Secretary of Defense before entering active duty, as many reservists have. Had he retired normally and respectfully, he could have ended his retirement, ensured his retirement documents were correctly filled out and signed. And that's the other thing. His official retirement document states soldier not available for signature. He waited for the paperwork to catch up to him. So he had a reduced rank. And he was demoted, reduced in rank, and then he abandoned and walked away from his soldiers and his promise to lead and care for them. And then he, according to the men he served with, he hid that information from the public to try to fool voters. And so that's why they started speaking out. And the well-known Twitter account Stolen Valor published his discharge document and said that, yes, all of these criticisms are true. This is exactly, what happened. So Vance is right to point this out. And this is a guy who, he's bragging. He sitting here, bragging about taking people's firearms and saying, well, you can't have what I know what a weapon of war is. No, you don't. In fact, he was talking about 71 Americans. What is he saying? He was bragging. This is a Gun Owners of America thing. He was bragging about taking people's firearms without due process. And he always trades on his military service and says he knows weapons of war. Listen to this. We have this.
Whether it be red flag, extreme risk protection orders, and I think Superintendent Evans can speak to the specifics of that. I think in my latest briefing, we've issued 71 of those.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
71.
Yeah. 71. And then he's like, I know what weapons of war are. and weapons of war don't, you never, and he's told people, I've carried a weapon of war in war. You can't, he's never been to war. But this, he's a fraud. And he lies about his service. It makes you wonder what else he's going to lie about. But he thinks, you know, the media is not going to ask these questions. The media is not going to ask any of these questions. Now, who else isn't answering questions from the media? Kamala Harris. How many days has it been? 13 days? 12 days?
Yeah, I think so.
She has not held a single press conference. She hasn't answered any questions from the press. Nothing. And she doesn't even have her policy positions on her website. But you know what they have been doing? Red State has the story about how their campaign is using streamers to AstroTurf support, except it's not working so well. Yesterday, we played the video of these broads on TikTok dancing. So apparently, she's been trying to reach out to online, you know, well-known online people to promote her campaign. And apparently, people have turned her down. There's one, it's a Twitch streamer, Kai Sinat, who has 13 million followers. He was saying that he was getting calls from Secret Service and the Harris campaign and requesting that they do a collaboration. And he said that he wasn't interested. People have been publishing the emails and the messages that they've been receiving from her campaign. And yeah. So it's not, nobody's biting. Nobody's signing on to this because it's cringe. It is entirely cringe. So it's bad. I'm looking at some of the actual messages. Like, for instance, they say, and they've been published on X, and they're like, oh, so they talk about how social media people are being paid to promote their content on social media. And they reach out and they're like, over a series of three posts, we're inviting you to share what you admire about the Biden-Harris administration, you know, which initiatives you support or why you believe Kamala Harris with Biden's endorsement is the best candidate for the job. And then they said that we can discuss details and compensation for your involvement. That's like the type of stuff that they're sending out to people. They don't have anybody grassroots doing this. They sent out. One woman with the campaign, Alicia Howard, said, I hope this message finds you well. I wanted to follow up on the email I sent a couple of days ago regarding our paid partnership. They want to pay people on social media to promote their stuff because it's not happening organically. That's embarrassing. It's not. This is also one of the problems when you do a switcheroo like this and you're completely unprepared. And I don't know. I mean, this is bad. It's bad. Now, I wanted to touch on this idea that Walz has, and this is one of these false narratives that the media has constructed to push out there. They're trying to define him for American voters. They're trying to define him as the Midwestern grandpa who has a bowl of Werther's Originals at the door, right? That's how they're trying to define Tim Walz. Tim Walz does really good with flyover. Tim Walz does really good with rural moderates and conservative voters. He does well with rural voters. They're really trying to play out that identity for him, except that's not a true identity. That's literally, that's never happened. So I went and I was looking at what the votes actually were. So he actually, in 2022, he lost rural counties in Minnesota. And this is taken from Real Clear Politics as well as the Minnesota Secretary of State website. And he lost rural counties by over 20%. By over 20%. It was pretty significant. Not only that, but of the 87 counties in Minnesota, he only won 13 of them. Now, let me pull this up because he won 13 of their 87 counties, 60% of all of his votes And Juan has the RCP map up there. 60% of all of his votes came from four counties. Four counties. And those counties, particularly Hennepin and Ramsey counties, gave him a little bit of some breathing room with about 400,000 votes. And he ended up winning by like only like 100 something thousand votes. None of, and Juan's showing you that's from the Secretary of State's website. None of the claims that he's like this, and you can see the map. I mean, it's all of the urban counties that supported him. He did not get support from rural counties. Rural counties rejected him. Rural counties did not support Tim Walz. They did not support him. I mean, he 60% of his votes, over 60% of his votes came from urban counties. So they're trying to create this identity for him. That's not his identity. He is an urban Minnesota guy. But they're trying to say, oh, Minnesota, and they're trading on the average American's unfamiliarity with the lay of the land in Minnesota, the counties, the voter breakdown. They want you to think that everything in Minnesota is rural. They don't have cities in Minnesota. Remember, it's all just rocks and cows, like he said. That's what they want you to think. But that's not true.
Hi, I'm George, an economics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The Declaration of Independence is more than a bold letter to a British king written by upstart colonists, although it very much is that. The Declaration explains the promise of America, that all men and women are born equal in their possession of natural rights, and that the proper exercise of these rights can lead to a full and deeply satisfying life. Just as the Declaration explains America's promise, the Constitution upholds that promise. Its purpose is to protect the rights of all of us, our natural rights. This establishes the possibility, not the guarantee, that we can have a good life. This is true freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This actually kind of surprised me because I'm a whiskey and scotch fan. Japanese whiskey is declared better than scotch by experts at a landmark tasting event. It was at Glasgow's Pot Still Bar. And they said that they had blind tasted five examples, industry experts, of whiskey from both countries. Japan got the most votes in 3 out of 5 rounds. And it's called the Judgment of Glasgow. And it took place at their Pot Still Bar. And they said that they based the drinks on 5 categories, single malt under 100, single malt over 100, a blended whiskey wild card round, and a whiskey highball. And they said, and in a result that will horrify any Scot, Japan managed to seal a shock victory. Japanese whiskey is actually pretty good. They're very regimented and disciplined. But I am a little shocked, I have to say. I mean, I got some Japanese whiskey. It's, you know, it's tasty. But I don't know. It's just kind of, I don't know what to think. Americans spend more than 2 days online shopping every year. More than 2 full days online shopping. Really? Well, think about it. If you're at your laptop or even if you're scrolling at stuff on your phone, they surveyed 2,000 Americans and 42, they were looking at this. 8 in 10 said that they, talking about the shopping, 62 shop online each week, 62%, 54 hours per year is what they deduced. Wow. We have a lot more to get into. Stick with us. Cori Bush is threatening everybody now. It's our partners over at Kel-Tec, the P-15. It's an awesome 9mm striker fire pistol. This is like the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. I have it. There's the polymer version and the metal version. The metal version is like a James Bond gun. It has a wood grip, wood panel texture grips on the metal frame. It's a classy looking gun. Comes with 2 mags, standard 15 round, minimal pinky extension, and flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds as well. Fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. You also have a tritium and fiber optic front sight and lifetime warranty. Compact, ideal for everyday conceal carry self-defense. And it's from Kel-Tec, the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. And again, everything quality made right here in the U.S. of A. The 9mm packs a punch, but you're not losing your stopping power, and it's slim and easily concealable. To learn more about it, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. The P-15 from Kel-Tec. Tell them Dana sent you.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lena, Waltz appears to fit the all-American definition of a man from middle America. High school teacher, football coach, member of the Army National Guard before becoming a member of Congress.
Abandons his soldiers. By the way, also created a snitch line for all the people, as we talked about. If you missed that, you need to go back and listen to our first hour, because I explained to you the snitch line. He was telling everybody to mind their own damn business while he created a snitch line. People were calling it to report neighbors if they saw somebody having a birthday party. If you worked out in a park in Minnesota, somebody didn't like it, chances are they called the snitch line on you. And he kept it going up until November 2022. And he defended it when he was asked about it. It was wild, just wild. But that's the stuff. That's Tim Walz. That's him. So they're really trying to make, that was George Stephanopoulos trying to, they got their talking points. You know, they know what they're supposed to do. He's supposed to be the all-American definition of a man from middle America. But we all know that that's bunk. I mean, this guy can't get middle America to support him. I mean, over 60% of his votes came from four counties when he was in Minnesota, and they were all urban counties. They come from, he's city dwellers. That's it. Those are the people who like him. Everybody else outside of that doesn't like him. He only won 13 of the 87 counties in Minnesota. So this guy's, you know, it's the facts don't support it. And by the way, he's getting roasted online right now about abandoning his soldiers because he didn't want to deploy to Iraq. That's not going away. But no one in the media is going to talk about it. And I'm going to tell you, there's a significant number of people who are going to be voting for them who are not on X to see this. This is something that you need to realize right now. What happens online isn't real life, okay? The stuff that happens out there is real life. And the media is trying to make it to where the stuff that you are reading about on X or online, or maybe seeing somebody share on Facebook, they don't want to talk about it because it's detrimental to their overall agenda, which is they want Harris Walls. But they're really, really trying to make him to be like the J.D. Vance of the ticket. And that's the thing with this, because Tim Walz tried to do some of this class warfare stuff with him. We've got a million, by the way, sound bites. So give me a second here. This was, which one was this? Because this was him going at, audio soundbite 12. This was Tim Walz trying to make fun of J.D. Vance for going to Yale. Listen to this.
Like all regular people I grew up with in the heartland, J.D. studied at Yale, had his career funded by Silicon Valley billionaires, and then wrote a bestseller trashing that community.
Yours was funded by Soros.
That's not what middle America is. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to debate the guy.
Man, he. Do you notice how he always rubs his nose when he thinks he said something clever or hard ass? Tim Walz is the type of guy who drinks a lot of beer in the bar and then says something dumb and then gets knocked on his ass. And then the next time he says something dumb in the bar, he tries to get his friends to hold me back. He's that guy. He looks like a belligerent drunk. Well, I know he's a drunk because he had a DUI. He got a DUI. He was doing 96 and a 55, and he lied to the cop and told him that he was deaf. That was his excuse. A deafness that magically went away, too, by the way. He blew a 1.28. He was well over the legal limit. And by the way, this wasn't something that happened long ago. The man was like pushing 40. Okay? He was almost 40 years old when this happened. What the hell is wrong with you? You're almost a 40-year-old grown man. And you're out there partying it up like a frat boy driving 96 and a 55, driving drunk. And then you run from the trooper when they turn on their lights. And then when the trooper finally pulls you over, you're like, oh, I didn't understand. I was deaf. That's why you smell alcohol from my breath and why I blew a 0.128 and why the blood test at the hospital proved that I was drunk. And I failed all the field tests and the sobriety tests and all this. It's because I was deaf, which I'm not anymore magically. I was healed. So stupid. This guy's a loser. But he tries to knock J.D. Vance Look, I'm not going to sit here and stan J.D. Vance. I don't need to sit here and act like I'm worshiping a candidate. You guys know I am. I recoil at that. But let me tell you something. J.D. Vance grew up, and there's a lot of similarities between his upbringing and mine. Mine wasn't with a mother. I had a great mom. But there's some similarities there. And he grew up poor in Appalachia and a statistic. And he had to overcome being a statistic and living statistically. He had to overcome that. And where he got, he created his own way. There was no Silicon Valley billionaire that paid for him to go to Yale. He earned it. Just like he earned the respect that he's owed when he went to serve his country. And he didn't ditch anything. He didn't ditch his service and didn't ditch his fellow soldiers either. If you want to talk about who funds what campaign, let's examine all the Soros cash that Tim Walz has received over the course of his elected career. Because, you know, he's not just governor. He was also in Congress for a long time. And that man got fat, fat bank from George Soros and all of the Silicon Valley billionaires that he was just bemoaning. And by the way, you know how I found all this information? It's on a glorious thing called the internet. You can go to this thing on the internet that's called a website. And it's called Open Secrets. And you can see all the money that these campaigns get. So I don't know why he's bitching about J.D. Vance getting money from Silicon billionaires, because he's been getting money from Silicon billionaires since J.D. Vance was still serving his country. Now, with that said, can we talk about Cori Bush? Cori Bush out there threatening everybody. Where's the one where she said, hang on, I don't even know where to start with this. Is it? Okay, hang on. Hang, which one is it?
33.
Oh my gosh. Oh! Audio, yes, audio soundbite 33. This was her last night. So she lost her primary. What you need to know about Missouri's first congressional district, I used to live there, is that the primary is the general, because Republicans can't win there. It is so Democrat, it's crazy. And Republicans have tried to make some inroads in there, but it's super Democrat. Anyway, she's being challenged by another lefty named Wesley Bell, who also came up. It's a tale of two people who came up in Ferguson. One guy actually tried to go, and even though I don't agree with him, he's very far left, but he actually tried to go the route of, well, let me see what I can actually do. Cori Bush wanted to go the self-glorification way. So anyway, he ends up besting her in the primary, and she's livid. Audio soundbite 33.
As much as I love my job, but all they did was radicalize me, and so now they need to be afraid.
Well, I mean, audio soundbite 34, you know she is powerful, y'all. Didn't she have like a shaman or something on her campaign or something like that? I don't even know. But she was like curing people with her hands. Audio soundbite 34, listen to this. Maybe she has the power. I don't know.
You're a pastor.
Yeah.
She's a pastor.
You write about healing through faith. At one point, you came across a woman with, quote, several visible tumors on her torso. Tell me what happened.
So at that time, I, along with a group of friends, we would go out on the street and just meet with people and pray with people and offer them food. And this lady came to us and she had these tumors. I mean, she wanted us to like feel them. And I just remember I put my hand on her and my hand just began to move. And the lumps that were there were no longer there. And she was so happy, and she like went on about her day, and I never saw her again.
So you think the tumors disappeared?
I do. And this woman was unhoused. She's someone who, you know, had been sleeping in the shelters and sleeping.
Unhoused. Yeah. Like if you don't have a car and you steal one, oh, they're unautomobiled. You know, they are without wheels. That's so by the power of Grayskull. Raw. No, I'm not even going to pretend that that isn't anything not kooky as all hell. Oh my gosh. Even the devil could quote scripture, y'all, to cite Shakespeare. That, you know, that's also true. But remember the guy that she had? Hold up. Cori Bush. Wasn't she dating this dude?
The guy, the security guy?
Yeah. He was like a security guy, but wasn't he like magical? Hang on. I know I have this somewhere. Oh, yeah. Well, it's the security guard husband. She's paying this guy. But didn't she have somebody Like, wasn't there somebody on her, like, who was, like, threatening people and all this stuff? Like, wouldn't, I don't know. There's so many crazy things with her campaign and her, like, staff. I can't even keep it all straight. It's insane.
Cut 26. Is that, you're talking about her campaign?
Well, yeah. Well, by the way, speaking of that, yeah, this is when she was saying that, you know, she's important. Like, you might be important as a voter, but she's importanter. Audio sent by 26. You know, she's got to have, she needs the police to be defunded, but not her security. Listen to this flashback.
So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets.
So she's telling you to suck it up, the expensive private security that she demands for herself. But, you know, your tax dollars, she wants your tax dollars to fund her security, but she don't want your tax dollars going towards, you know, police. So she's out and she's mad, and they all blamed AIPAC. So I'm just going to play by their rules. That looks, seems to be anti-Semitic, right? Yeah, it seems like that's, yeah, I mean, yeah, I thought, I mean, if she's blaming AIPAC out there, because that's kind of my thing. Like, I see them saying this, and I was watching it. Where's this? This is this is audio sent by 24. Let me touch on this. So I know we got to get moving, but I don't want to. On CNN, Jake Tapper is sitting there listening to his colleagues be raging anti-Semites. Now, you can't say that Kamala Harris couldn't pick Josh Shapiro because Josh Shapiro is Jewish and they were having a major problem with it. But, you know, you can blame AIPAC like Cori Bush has been doing and being like, oh, my God. But listen to this. 24, CNN, they're having some problems. CNN's having a time.
And I think ultimately, Shapiro, I think fit is important. But, you know, I also think that when you look at the principle of do no harm, maybe they did say, in a state like Minnesota, do we want to, those 100,000 uncommitted voters who came out about the Gaza war, do we want to antagonize those voters? Those are all part of the questions as well.
So can I just say,
Tim Walz also spoke conciliatorily towards those people. He said, look, that uncommitted vote is significant and those people should be heard. So having that kind of response, I think, is probably more of an open door to the parts of the party that have been very frustrated with the Democrats.
So, but just to one point on the Gaza war, Shapiro has the same position on Israel that Governor Walz, that Senator Kelly has. He's actually been more critical of Netanyahu than the other two, but he is Jewish.
And he's also the face of the crackdown on the protests, right? He spoke very vehemently about those campus protests as being anti-Semitic.
Not all of them. The ones that were anti-Semitic, he criticized as being anti-Semitic.
He was out front on the issue. So I'm wondering if that's the kind of thing that...
You're not going to best the Hamas wing of your party, dude. Hamas controls the party now. You're not going to best the Hamas wing of the party. By the way, so Lorraine reminds me. So the guy who was, he said he couldn't have, so the guy that was on her payroll, the husband security guy, he was an ex-Black Panther who blamed the Jews for COVID. And then when people started being like, wow, you sound pretty like raging anti-Semitic, he said, no, I can't because I'm a Jewish high priest. So
it's on his resume, so it's
got to be. Yep, that's so. Bye, Corey. Bye. Bye. ReadyWise, a great company. They've signed on to work with us. And they, one of the reasons I like working with them so much, because their food is actually good. I mean, people think, oh, it's survival food, whatever. But I mean, it doesn't mean it shouldn't taste good, right? And it actually does. The other thing I like about ReadyWise, unlike a lot of these other companies out there, I know the chain of command from start to finish with everything that they make. So all of this is made with high quality U.S. ingredients, all their food. And it's packed and distributed from a U.S.-based plant. So from the beginning to the end, you know the chain of command for your food. U.S. ingredients, U.S. jobs, and it's the highest quality of ingredients as well. So they have two offers for you. You can use promo code DANA20 at checkout, and that gives you 20% off any regularly priced item. You can also get their buy one, get one of the 72-hour food kit. This is a $100 value for $50. This includes two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, entrees, all kinds of stuff, drinks, over 11,000 calories in each kit, and all of their food freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, with a 25-year shelf life. So visit ReadyWise.com, check out the buy one, get one of the 72-hour food kit. They always have free and fast shipping on their order, on most orders, making sure your stuff gets to you fast. And you can also use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is a crazy story. A Florida mom claimed that her neighbors were pedophiles and tried to have them killed, say authorities. But instead, deputies were ambushed. So three deputies were shot, one fatally, and a search showed the suspects had more. They had a lot of, they were preparing for something. But it seemed like they were very delusional. She's being now accused of ambushing law enforcement. So essentially, they live northwest of Orlando. They were preparing, I guess, to ambush the neighbors. And then the cops showed up as they were preparing to ambush the neighbors. So then the cops ended up getting ambushed. This is insane. And they arrested Julie Sulpizio on suspicion of murder, attempted murder, and a ton of other crimes. And now it goes before a grand jury. Her arraignment is scheduled for September 3rd. And she said that she was trying to lure the neighbors to her home so her husband could kill them. What? That's I don't know. She said they were sinners. They know what she told her neighbors. I know what you did. And I don't know. It's wild. This story's insane. So Kane's like, I don't even know. Let's see. A Florida man faces prison time because he decided to showcase himself in a not proper way at a casino. What is it? Nobody actually knows why he chose to make such a reveal, but he was... He was described as waving his Frankenbeans in the casino's poker room. And then he got into trouble with the guards and was arrested. 47-year-old Abdul Zania. And, so that's what ended up happening. And he was totally arrested for being grody. I don't know, man. Pitbull Stadium fans go wild because Pitbull is buying the Florida school's naming rights in the first ever deal of its kind. So this from Daily Mail, Mr. Worldwide, it's Florida International University's football stadium, Pitbull, Armando Perez, real name. He signed a 5-year deal worth $6 million, an option to extend after the first 5 years. And so it's going to be Pitbull Stadium. Wow. That's what it's going to be. I mean, why couldn't he do it? Don't the Tostitos people have a thing like us, the Tostitians? Stadium or something like that. I don't know. So anyway, so he's going to have Pitbull Stadium. So there you go. Pitbull can do whatever he wants. Leave him alone. A Florida man calling out to coyotes survived an attack by armadillos. And then he also is a dude who was on video getting into a fight with his bear in his garage. But he was outside calling. He thought he heard coyotes and he goes out there. And turns out it was two thick-skinned, wobbly mammals, two armadillos coming across the driveway behind me. And he goes, I thought they were blind, but they seem to be right on target. And they just totally knocked him down. This guy needs to stay away from wildlife. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Our partners at Help Bring You Free Radio, Black Rifle Coffee. I spilled a whole flipping cup of this coming down to the studio earlier today. I swear to you, it was like a gut punch. If I was a crier, I would have cried maybe, or I would have had a misty eye here or there. But it's just the best coffee that exists. Black Rifle Coffee is a veteran-owned. They employ veterans and active duty. And they just make the best coffee that is out there. And they're dedicated to supporting veteran and first responder causes. It's premium coffee to people who love America. And everything, the explosive roast profiles, using the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms. They bring it back and roast it 5 days a week in Tennessee and in Utah. They have ground, whole bean, K-cup, ready to drink. They have the coffee club, which is honestly the best way. And it's so affordable. And you get free shipping right to your front door. You don't pay shipping fees for it. But you choose your roast, how often you want it delivered. And boom, it's done like magic. You can also get apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything you need for the perfect brew. See for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com. When you order today, get 20% off using code Dana. 20% off, code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Well, here is Tim Walz, who enlisted when he was 17 years old. He served in the National Guard for 24 years. And I'm not aware of any military service that J.D. Vance has ever served. So let's just make the comparison there. And what happened in the tragedy of the killing of George Floyd and then the unrest. Yeah, okay, pardon me.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe they can just, like, wheel that granny back out. That's Tina Smith from Minnesota. She was like, well, I don't know. I'm just going to go on. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm just going to go on CNN and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, at least Acosta or whatever corrected her for a second there. But good night. That's just so dumb. I mean, the fact that she even had to be corrected. I mean, the guy was, I mean, he enlisted in the Marines. He was in the Marine Corps. He was in Iraq. And he was in the public affairs section of the 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing. He has the Marine Corps Good Conduct Medal, Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal, all of that. And even though, what was his face? Boss Hogg up there in Minnesota, Walls, said that, you know, he was like, oh, he went to Yale. You realize that he earned his way to Yale? He used the GI Bill to attend Ohio State University. And then from there, he went on and earned his spot at Yale Law. So, you know, which is something apparently that what's-his-face Boss Hogg didn't do. I just thought that was like, that was embarrassing. Can we not bring this broad on again? That's so embarrassing. I mean, you got to do better than that. That's really embarrassing to not even know the people you're talking about. And you're going to sit here and try to attack. I mean, she's a surrogate for Harris. That's a surrogate. So the campaigns, they have particular people that, not all the time. So like sometimes what they do, not everyone who speaks in favor of a candidate is deemed to be a surrogate, but many of the people who do are, meaning the campaign will make recommendations to cable news outlets, whether it's Fox, whether it's MSNBC, CNN, ABC, whatever. They will make recommendations as to who they would like to speak on their behalf. And they're not like compensated or anything. They're just, and some of them can be, if they're operatives, if they have like operative firms like Kellyanne Conway and all of that. But a lot of times it's just, oh no, they know this person is in favor, and then they have an arrangement where they can be surrogates. Now, it's not like that for everybody, but she is an official surrogate for the Harry Walls campaign. And stop what? Sorry, the Fleecy Beans campaign, Kane, because he won't let me say what I want to say. So Fleecy Beans it is. So she's a official campaign spokesperson for the Fleecy Beans campaign. The Fleecy Beans ticket.
Call Brendan Carr.
Fleecy Beans is a completely acceptable way.
I think so too.
I didn't say
no.
Whisker Jimmies or anything like that.
Okay.
You know, cut me some slack here. Gosh, Kane. Mr. Free Speech Police over there. Snitch. Did you hear him? He just threatened to snitch on me to Brendan Carr. You all heard that, right? All of you heard it.
What's
you
that number
snitch.
To call Tim Walz?
What?
What's that number to call Tim Walz so I can snitch on you?
Oh, well, he's finally decommissioned the line.
There it
yeah.
is.
Go ahead, call him. It's all right. Call him. That's all right. Golly. Yes, I would like to report. I would like to snitch, please. Yes. Fleecy Beans, the Fleecy Beans campaign. That's as close as we can get. So anyway, I actually prefer that one. So Tina Smith is like an official surrogate for them. A bad one. I don't think she'll be back because she just gave. Now she just, you're not supposed to be a surrogate and then go and give the opposing campaign like an optic win and a soundbite for them to use to their advantage. And just, she just totally walked right into that. That was so stupid. Oh my gosh, you just got to get it. We got to save the snitch line for forever because I just want to bring it up every single time. Okay. Anytime they say, I just want to snitch on them any single time. Can we talk about here? Oh my gosh, I got a million things. Let's hit some of this other stuff real quick. So, oh my gosh, I'm actually overprepared today. So I apologize. Let me touch on Biden-Harris real quick for a moment, please. Because this is a Wall Street Journal piece that I have. Where did I have this at? It has to do with what they're doing. Here it is. I have it. Wait, this is something I was going to get my 11 o'clock hour. Tells you how crazy we are. The Wall Street Journal has this piece. It says Biden does a stealth Medicare rewrite. The regulators, Biden's regulators, which we don't know where the hell he is. Sidebar, do we know where he is? No. Okay. I mean, going to war in Iran, maybe, but, you know, where's he at? Biden's regulators are scrambling to block a Part D premium spike before the election. Now, what does this mean? So this piece, this is actually pretty wild. Essentially, Biden and Harris, and this was in the what they called the quote unquote Inflation Reduction Act, which, you know, was not about reducing inflation. They raided Medicare so they could fund tax credits for electric vehicles. Now, this move, per the Wall Street Journal, made prescription costs for seniors, their premiums, to just go out of control. So now the Biden-Harris administration, they're trying to very surreptitiously pay off insurers to encourage them not to increase premiums until after the election. So that's what they're trying to do. And I don't, that needs to be a way bigger deal. And the piece gets into it. It says insurers report that many Part D plan premiums are going to rise far more than 6% next year. That's when the IRA's 2000 limit on out-of-pocket spending takes effect. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services also tweak regulations to make benefits more generous, etc. They were talking about how the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid did damage control last week. They usually announce preliminary Part D premiums in July. And this year they unveiled a demonstration project. And this is the Wall Street Journal piece that would impose a year-over-year increase limit of $35 for premiums while boosting payments to insurers. Now, this was, they knew it. It was a redesign that was going to force them to, like a backdoor way for Democrats to ration access to costly drugs. And they were going to try to shift the political blame for doing so to the insurers. Now, that was all, this was all in the Inflation Reduction Act, all of this. And it was, they were doing all of this now. I mean, it's actually they did a stealth Medicare rewrite, and they wanted to fund tax credits for EVs. They had to get the money from somewhere. So they started redesigning and shifting all of this stuff per the Inflation Reduction Act. This caused the premiums for the prescriptions to hit the roof. And now they're trying to push the insurers to not increase any kind of premiums until after the election. So they raided Medicare and Medicaid to pay. They raided it for a Green New Deal-ish for this part of the Green New Deal. I mean, that's insane. That is insane. And this was also from Newsweek. Newsweek touched on it with this headline: with electric car credits, Biden picks Green New Deal over seniors. Moving savings from Medicare to fund the radical Green New Deal priorities, subsidizing electric vehicles. So that was all in that Inflation Reduction Act. Isn't that nice? Isn't that lovely? So you're not going to hear anybody in the press ask Harris about that, because Harris isn't even going out towards anybody in the press. She's not saying a single thing. They're not going to ask her about this. Most people, they're just going to hope that nobody talks about it. Just like they're probably not going to talk about this. So this piece, which is up, I've seen this in a couple of places. The Associated Press actually talked about it. I've seen it a few other places about how Harris's VP pick, Tim Walz, Department of Education, under him, they allowed people coming in from Somalia to steal $250 million from a food aid program for children. It was because there was no oversight over this program. So they had, this was in September of 22, the DOJ charged 47 Somali immigrants in Minnesota with stealing, according to AP, $250 million. It was a coronavirus relief program where they set aside $250 million to feed needy kids. Remember when school shut down and all this stuff? And they were like, how are a lot of these kids going to eat, because they're not going to be in school, all this? Some kids only, you know, needy kids only eat when they're in school. They only have recovered $50 million of it since last month. 47 defendants. They created an umbrella group called Feeding Our Future. And then they had a bunch of little groups underneath that. And they were filing for relief for the funding at mosques across Minnesota. And then once they got it, they said, oh, yeah, they reported in that they're feeding thousands of kids every day. But they never had to prove it. They had like rosters of fake names and not, like these kids didn't exist. And they were like, oh, yeah, giving that to the government. Here's our reach. This is what we're doing. One of them, by the way, according to AP, said that one of these feeding centers was so blatant and lazy that they literally went. I didn't even know there was this website. It was called listofrandomnames.com. They copied the names from that and just pasted it on a list. And that's what they sent to the feds to prove that they were, look, that we're feeding these people, but they weren't. They just pocketed the money. And as of last month, only $50 million of the $250 million has been. This was a program under Tim Walz, and they had no oversight for it at all whatsoever. And then Walz is like, well, we tried to do what we could, but, you know. Walz said that his hands were tied. What does this guy do? I mean, he ran the snitch line with more oversight than this. This is crazy. Now, we have more to come, including... We're going to get into, we got more stuff with the left. We got some stuff on the right and some elsewhere. And meanwhile, in Europe, oh my gosh. And then I have to follow up. Do you remember the story of the teacher who was beaten by this huge high schooler because she took his switch away? I got an update on that. You're not going to believe it. This is unbelievable. It truly is wild. So we got all the latest on that. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, Gold Co., look, I don't even need to tell you what the economy is like. You know what it's like. Everything's expensive. Inflation's out of control. Stock market is not great. It's a rough time. And this is why you need to diversify and protect everything you've worked your life to accrue with top-rated gold company, Gold Co. Now, you can visit danalikesgold.com, learn how to get started today. You'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit that's going to give you all the facts you need about precious metals. Join the thousands of people who have called Gold Co. the number one rated gold company. Diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver, thousands of five-star reviews, perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. Gold Co. wants to make sure that you completely understand everything, which is why they're very thorough with the information they provide. They give you a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers to explain how all of it works. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. They've helped people like you and me place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. No pressure. Ask them whatever you want. They're dedicated to transparency and honesty. Visit danalikesgold.com. Learn how you can get started today. You'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit. It's going to arm you with the facts about precious metals. Visit danalikesgold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a taxi driver went on a rampage through Cologne's Old Town in Germany before somebody actually finally apprehended him. The Jordanian, 44 years old, raced his car down a street in North Rhine-Westphalia. Shortly after 10 p.m., he ran over two women aged 22 and 23 head-on. He then sped on in his Volkswagen Passat towards the Rhine River, where he hit two more women. And a fifth one managed to save herself because she just barely was able to jump to the side. German reports suggested the act was absolutely deliberate. A 27-year-old woman was left seriously injured. And a 34-year-old waiter from a brewery in front of where everything happened, he managed to detain the driver until police arrived. So that guy's a hero. But Germany's got issues. That's what happens when you just allow every Tom, Dick, and Harry to come in your country. You don't check as to who they are, and you have absolutely no... assimilation, nothing, and you have such disparate cultures that it's insane the way it is. Let's see this. An MTA worker cut his own hand and then lied about being slashed on the subway in a bid to, quote, have the summer off. Yeah, that actually happened. A transit system cleaner was so desperate for a vacation that he lied about getting cut on the job, so he cut his own hands to try to sell it, according to prosecutors. He said he wanted to have the summer off because it was too hot down there. That's what he told prosecutors after it was all exposed. You know, maybe you should just get a different job where you don't have to work underground like that. You know, I mean, that's also a thing. Banksy has his second artwork in 24 hours appear in London, according to British media. Apparently, it's like two elephants in a window and they're touching trunks. And that's apparently what it is. So I don't know. He's it's a new artwork in London. Two elephants poking their heads out of blackout windows. They said it could be the elephant in the room. It could. Really, though? I mean, it's just two stenciled elephants. What the hell? Like, it's literally just two stenciled elephants. And that's all it is. And the paint's even running down on one. So I don't get it. Like, I don't know. Into the gift shop we go. What? Yeah, there you go. By the way, I hate modernity. Really do. Let's see this. No. No. No, no, no. What is this? What is this headline? It's called Good Luck Killing the Huge Worms here in Texas. By the way, the pop-ups for this website make me want to go find whoever did the website and kill all of them. It's an invasive worm species. The hammerhead flatworm is toxic, and it's in Texas. It also carries parasites and can grow over a foot long. And if you cut it in half, it just regenerates, and it's gross looking. They've been around in Texas for quite some time. Hurricane Barrels brought up quite a few of them. Okay, where in Texas? It doesn't tell you because this reporter who writes this story sucks out loud. Where is it? I'm going to have to Google. I'm going to have to do the reporter's job and look it up because they don't tell you where in Texas it is. They're just like random worms in Texas. I'm thinking if it's Hurricane Barrel, it's probably towards like Harris County. That's what I'm thinking. But no, KFMX didn't actually do the job. They didn't fire your reporter. That's horrible. They suck. And a fourth grader, this is crazy, came home from after school, died unexpectedly. This fourth grader had orientation at school in Georgia, came home from school, died unexpectedly. They're still waiting for reports from the medical examiner. That's all they have? That's all they have for this? They have a GoFundMe. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My neighbor covering my presence here. I figured I'd come by and one, just get a good look at the plane. Hopefully it's going to be my plane in a few months, but I also thought you guys might get lonely because the vice president doesn't answer questions from reporters and hasn't for 17 days. Have they give you guys an explanation for why she won't take questions from reporters? No? Nobody? Okay, great. Well, I hope that she changes her mind because it'd be good for the American people, and I think it'd be good for you all if she actually ran a real campaign instead of one from a basement with a teleprompter. So have a good one, guys. See ya.
What would you like to
Okay, so that's, I got to give, rarely do I ever give awards for trolling. In fact, I don't know that I ever have to another politician like that. That's an epic troll. I think we're at peak election already when you have the vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket who is standing outside of the current vice president's plane talking to the media about why the current vice president and the Democrat presidential assumed nominee will not talk to the press. We actually don't know where she is. I mean, hell, we could be in war with Iran right now. Where's Biden? Nobody even knows where these people are. She's holed up on her plane. J.D. Vance is literally just walking around the tarmac, you know, like, hey, guys, what's up? So I don't know where any of them are. And I really feel for I don't know how people in Washington, how our lawmakers are able to get stuff done. I mean, they're doing their thing. They're getting stuff done. But do they know? Have they even seen the president? Let's ask one. My congressperson, Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne from the great Republic of Texas. She's in D.C. She's back in the job. And I have to ask you, Congresswoman, I'm going to ask about the job fair and all of that stuff. But obviously, A couple things have happened in the news lately. But before I ask about that, do lawmakers know where the president is? Because we haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him. I mean, we saw him at the State of the Union when he was kind of doped up and, you know, fiery and nasty. But that was really the last time that we've seen him. Now, to be quite fair, I don't get a lot of invitations to go to the White House.
I'm shocked.
But I did today. Actually, I did get an invitation today. I can't go because I've got our job fair, but with actually the Texas Rangers. But go for the Texas Rangers are actually being honored at the White House today. So just a quick shout out on that. But I haven't seen Biden.
Well, at least they're honoring the Rangers. But yeah, my first thought was, did they know you're a Republican, right? I mean, did somebody in their office like mess up? Like, how did that? Well, and that's, I mean, I know we kind of laugh about it. And, you know, we're like, where's Biden at? He's in his basement. But at the same time, I mean, we see, first off, we had a horrible jobs report. The headlines about the stock market, not any better. We see all this instability with energy in the Middle East. You know, obviously, we're apparently swapping out carrier strike groups, bringing out the Roosevelt, sending in the USS Abraham Lincoln. We're sending in a couple more jets, apparently, per Lloyd Austin. I mean, it's, you know, it sounds a little unstable over there with everything that's happening. You would think that we would get maybe some words from the vice president, who didn't bring up the economy or anything at her remarks last night, or the president, who hasn't said anything about it. I mean, people are freaked out. How are you assuring? What are you hearing from people? I mean, how do you even begin to assure people when the folks at the top are MIA?
Well, I mean, we're trying to do what we can practically. But, you know, in addition to the problems that you mentioned, you also have what's going on in Japan, where their economy, their stock market tanking. You've got what's going on with Bitcoin and that value tanking. There's a lot of instability in the markets right now. There's a lot of instability around the world. And you've got a president who's not there, and you've got a VP who you haven't seen in the last 3.5 years, hasn't done anything other than cackle and not really complete any kind of meaningful sentences. And now they're trying to completely reinvent Harris as this accomplished, smart woman. Nobody is buying it. Mm. And then, you know, you got another person that just adds to the ticket, Tampon Tim, you know, out of Minnesota, who, you know, governor of Minnesota, who has just been an absolute progressive train wreck. I mean, between insisting on having tampons in boys' bathrooms to, you know, defending BLM movement when his entire state is on fire. Talking about, you know, providing 30-foot ladders to illegal immigrants if it's a 25-foot wall. I mean, this guy is a disaster. They have doubled down on their progressive far-left candidacy. And, you know, all the while, you know, we're in this instability, and they are MIA. Mm. It is not a good thing. They need to be in front of the press. They need to be asked tough questions, which we all know sometimes the media doesn't do. But they need to be present to be able to answer them. We're not seeing it.
I know that we're talking with Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne out of Texas. I know that Walz was in Congress for some time, and then is governor of Minnesota. The way that they're trying to present him, and we were playing some cuts earlier of George Stephanopoulos talking about it, some other members of the media, as like he's like this Midwest grandpa. He's a moderate. You know, and he's probably got a bowl of Werther's Originals right by the door for all the kids, you know, the kids who's, you know, he's putting tampons in the boys' bathrooms and all this stuff. The kids who, you know, he signed the thing where the law where, you know, the state can intervene if parents don't want to affirm minors, you know, having experimental gender surgery. This is the guy who is telling everybody, talking about women and healthcare and life issues, told everyone else to mind their own damn business. But wouldn't you classify setting up an actual snitch hotline as minding one's business? How does he reconcile
that? Brother. Yeah, it's just like they're Orwellian. Yeah, I mean, but again, it's rules for thee, not for me. And this is what we see from Democrats.
He's no moderate. You know his record, right? He's not a moderate.
It would not appear so if you look at his time during being the governor of Minnesota. He is absolutely not a moderate. If I didn't think it was possible that they could find somebody even left of Kamala, but they appear to have done that. They're doubling down on touching this base that is just completely outside the mainstream of any kind of political party. I mean, the left has gone so far left, it's insane at this point. They can't define what a woman is. They're fighting for tampons in men's bathrooms and boys' bathrooms. It doesn't make any sense. And he was doing this in schools. Mm. And then setting up the Big Brother line that you can snitch on your neighbor if they're not wearing a mask.
Yeah,
this is the type of leadership that he has shown. And for anybody to find that as moderate, I wonder what they think you know, excessive is, what they think that far hinges are, if this guy doesn't define that.
Yeah, we're talking with Representative Beth Van Dyne. One of the things that we didn't hear from Kamala Harris yesterday, anything about jobs, didn't hear anything about the economy. I haven't heard anything about that from Tim Walz. Haven't heard anything about jobs. We had I mentioned the horrible jobs report. I know you are one of the people that is advocating for and bringing a lot of awareness to the North Texas job fair, and it's huge. We're at a time when people need jobs. Companies are freaked out about hiring and about projections, because they don't know what's going to happen in November. Tell us about this, because everybody's coming to Texas to work. I hope that they bring Texas-like voting records with them. That would be great. Otherwise, we may have to put up some signs telling them to go to Oklahoma, that's Texas. But talk to us about this, because there's how many people are you expecting out for this? There's hundreds of companies that are there.
We've got 500 companies, and you mentioned a lot of people are moving into Texas. Absolutely, because policies matter, and people are voting with their feet, and they're getting out of these states like New York and California, and they're coming to places like Texas that actually value freedom and individual rights. We noticed during the campaign, when I was talking to businesses, when I was talking to working families, there was a disconnect. Businesses were trying to hire people. We've got a ton of people in North Texas. We've got more that are moving in, but they're trying to hire people, and those folks are looking for better benefits, better pay, more flexibility on the job. And it was connecting the two. So our office 3 years ago decided that we were going to do a job fair. We did this right after the pandemic and right after the extended unemployment ended, because we wanted people to be able to get jobs and be able to be successful and take care of their families. The first one that we put together had over 6,000 people that came to it. We did this again last year, and we had 16,000 to 17,000 people that came. We have already blown those numbers from RSVPs out of the water. The job fair is going to be August 8th. It's going to be at Globe Life Field. We're expecting 20,000+ people. We are not going to run out of parking this year, being a Globe Life Field, but we've got two full decks that are covered with that are going to be covered with tables of people who are hiring. And look, this is some pragmatic, practical way that we can help people. We have made it completely nonpartisan. We've invited all of our mayors, all of our elected officials, all of our chambers to partner with us to host this and send out invitations to everybody. Because at the end of the day, you can't get a lot done in D.C. right now, but it doesn't mean that you stop working in your district. And finding the need, being responsive, thinking outside the box is exactly what every Congress member and every elected official should be doing.
Now, this is what elected officials should be doing, what you're doing. And you started this in 2021, as I understand. I don't know any other elected official. I don't know why you're the only one doing this. I really wish others would. And I love that you invited every lawmaker, regardless of ideology, because that's the point.
Yeah. It should not be a political or a party idea to get people jobs, to make people independent, to give them the tools to succeed and to be able to provide for their families. Everybody should want this. And perhaps it's my background as a mayor, a local elected official, that I have a very tight relationship, not only with our mayors and chambers, but also the small businesses that are here. And you talk to them on a regular basis and you find out what their needs are. These aren't just photo ops. You're talking to these people. These are folks. These are not businesses. These are people who are trying to put food on the table, who are trying to take care of their employees, who are trying to build a business and leave generational wealth. These are people. And when you talk to them and you find out their need, instead of figuring out, okay, what's the bill and how much are we going to add to our debt and, and the federal government, what can we do here at home?
Yeah.
And putting together a job fair, it may not be sexy, but I will tell you, every year we get the best response rate.
That you can imagine. Sexy, people, though.
Yeah, well, over 20,000 people is what we're expecting this year. And I'm telling you, there's 22,000 jobs right now from the 500 businesses that are there. Every industry, every size. And the thing I think it makes this a little bit different than most job fairs is, one, it's all under the same roof. But two, nearly a third of the positions are six-figure and above positions.
Oh, wow.
So it's every level that you can imagine, part-time, full-time. We're going to have different industries there. And in addition, we're also doing a backpack school supply drop. So if people want to pick up school supplies, we've got thousands of backpacks for needy families for their kids going back to school. In addition, we're going to have a separate area for our veterans. So if you are a group that provides veteran services, if you're looking to hire a veteran, we have a separate area just for them. So we really urge everybody to come out. It is absolutely free. None of the businesses are having to pay. None of the people who are looking for a job are having to pay. Parking is completely paid for you. So come out, bring plenty of resumes, bring some comfy shoes, understand that you're going to have to walk a while, but also be ready to interview. Because last year when I walked the floor, people were hiring people on the spot.
Wow.
And this is literally life changing. So it's a lot of work to do this. I know my team, you know, at the end of the week is going to be ready to drop, but it is so worthwhile.
And that's amazing. Yeah, people hired on the spot. Somebody could go in there not knowing how they're going to make ends meet and then leave knowing that, you know, yeah, they're set and their family's provided for. People can go to myntxnorthtexasjobs.com and get the information about that. It's tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Globe Life Field as well, put on by Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne. It's the North Texas Job Fair. So that website, myntxjobs.com. Congresswoman, always appreciate it. Thank you for what you do, not just for the district, but also for America. God bless you. We'll talk again.
Take care.
We got more to come, folks. Of course, it's a Republican that does it. Of course, it's a Republican that does a jobs fair. You're not going to see no Tim Walz out there doing a jobs fair. No, his wife is too busy smelling burning tires. Yeah, there you go.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Israel could be under attack any moment from Iran. U.S. troops in Iraq were injured yesterday. Why have we not heard directly from President Biden this week? We know he met with his team yesterday. Yep. We know today's VP Harris's big day, but he's still the president. Where is he?
Well, here's the thing. You've seen the president. He has been very clear about making sure that we continue to try to de-escalate tensions. We just put out two readouts today, a readout yesterday, and our focus right now is to make sure that we continue to try to de-escalate tensions here, and that's what the president has been doing.
Where has he been doing it? Anybody? Where?
Is this with Waldo somewhere?
I don't know where the hell. Wait, where is he? Hang on. Let's look. Do you find yourself using X as a search engine? Because I do. Hang on. Where is Biden? Because I can't Google it because Google's going to be like, here's some Marxist garbage. Nobody knows where he is. In fact, isn't the last video that we have of him? He apparently taped an interview with somebody to air this weekend. But isn't the last thing that we have of him when he was trying to get on somebody else's airplane?
Yeah.
That's that's like the last.
Remember that U.S. base in Iraq just now it's 2 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
That actually U.S. troops were injured by a rocket attack there? We haven't heard from him since then either.
Yeah, we haven't.
Like, these are things the president should be commenting on.
You would think, but no. I still love the fact that you had J.D. Vance go out there and hold a press avail in front of Kamala Harris's plane, talking about how she's not making herself available for the press. That's how I start liking people more, is that kind of stuff. I'm not going to lie. That kind of stuff, I'm like, I see you. Mm-hmm. I like that. Keep doing. Hell, Trump may not have to campaign at all. Just send him out there to do all this. I mean, I'm just saying. Goodness. All right. There's a lot of stuff I'm going to put in the newsletter. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. And then I'm already getting the show ready for you tomorrow. Literally already. In the meantime, today's stupidity.
Well, you know, Kamala Harris. Yeah, she is. She's a formidable opponent. I know that whenever really? J.D. Vance hears things like this, I'm sure he just shakes in his boots. Uh-oh. Listen to this.
So you're now no longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house.
She's talking about cloud.
It's storage. On your laptop, right. And it's then therefore up here in this cloud.
Oh no,
that exists above us.
Oh girl,
right?
Oh girl, okay. No.
It's no longer in a physical place.
What? Our data's no longer in a physical
it's
place.
It's in
guys.
The ether.
So yeah, I'm sure J.D. Vance is quaking.
Yeah. I don't have any way to top that. I don't. All right, folks, that does it. It's actually our show. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.